Saturday afternoon to everybody. Thank y'all for listening to us on another Saturday. I'm sorry for what you're about to hear, because something's probably going to happen. We're probably going to argue over music or something like that.
Not us.
No, not us at all.
Never done that.
Thank y'all for coming back and listening, though. I do appreciate it. You're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm Taylor Metz, and I'm here with my actual host. I'm the co-host. I almost said host.
That's right. You're the co-host. I'm the host.
Switched around. Well, when you let me intro the show, I kind of feel like the host, so.
But you're not.
Well, I feel like it, though.
Okay.
You kind of feel like my co-host.
It's a good thing.
You kind of feel like my co-host. How's it feel to be a co-host, Daddy?
Here. Here's all the stuff. Here are the bills that are associated with this show. I love the co-host thing, because all I'm going to do is show up.
That is so not true.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
I'm just going to show up when you tell me to.
Oh, that is so not true. That is so not true.
Ah, yes, boy. This weather is going to be right. If you are a deer hunter, if you are a hiker, if you like camping out in the backyard or on the back porch, you can't do anything but love this weather. It's funny, I talk to a lot of people that just like summertime. They hate this weather. I'm like, gosh.
I love this weather.
And this is, oh, man.
And I think the deer.
It doesn't last long enough for me. I would love this weather from like September through November. Give me 3 months of it, not just a couple of 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I think the deer are liking it too, because we went fishing this week. And we had contemplated going to the farm to hunt.
Yeah.
But we decided we were going to go fishing. Well, on the way to the lake, we passed, what, five deer?
Five.
And then this week, towards the end of the week, I was on my way home from school, and here comes a spike out the woods right in front of me.
Which brings up a good point, folks. As you're driving around,
Be aware
of the deer. I mean, the rut is starting to pick up. You're getting some pre-rut activity, and I've got a story on that if we get to it.
And also, if a deer does cross in front of you...
Did you just interrupt me?
I did, because I have a point that I need to make before I forget about it.
Yikes.
If a deer crosses right in front of you, keep watching the woods behind it, because there could be one behind it. Just be aware of what's around you still as you're going past.
Okay.
Because that was one thing I kept in mind when I almost hit the deer.
That was a good point.
See?
Now, was it worth interrupting me, though?
Well, but I felt like with the way this week has gone, if I wouldn't have said it right when I thought about it, I was going to forget about it. Okay. And I would spend the whole show thinking about what it was I didn't say. You know what I'm saying?
And then 5 minutes after we got out of the show, you would go,
I know.
I wanted to say that. Y'all don't understand how many times we get done with the show and go, we didn't get a chance to get to that. I missed saying that when I should have said that and all that. So there are a lot of regrets after this show is over every week.
The struggle is real.
Yeah, it is. But, we did go fishing. It was, let's see, how many did you catch? Never mind. You don't need to answer that.
I was the one that said we should go to Docassie. And then on the way to Docassie, Dad over here goes, I want to catch some fish. Let's go to Kiwi.
That's right.
And well,
I did catch fish.
Yes, but I didn't. So I could have been
chances.
Cranking on Joe Cassie, and
you
said
had
I was
chances.
Avoiding drop shotting again on Kiwi.
I didn't even drop shot this time. I did a little bit. I didn't catch anything on drop shot.
Mm-hmm. It's also pretty funny,
though,
when you're fishing across the lake and you look over and it's like, I recognize that boat. not. I spent a solid 10 minutes trying to figure out if that was one of my buddies.
No, it's not. Yes,
and
it is.
No, it's not. The boat looks too small. Nope. No, it's got to be, and ends up being him. But he also beat me, too. They had four good ones in the boat, and I had none.
I had three good ones. I had three good ones.
I think I would have been better off on Cassie.
And folks, my fish were shallow. They were under overhanging bushes on the bank.
And
In fact, I was skipping jigs underneath bushes along the side of the just one little creek we went up. We only hit one creek.
I wasn't planning on bringing. I should always bring a soft plastic rod with me. But the whole night before, I was like, "Daddy, we're gonna fish tomorrow." He goes, "Well, So try some top water. Just do top water. So I have like 5 top water rods and no spinning rods for soft plastics. And then we get out there and you're wearing them out on a daggum fluke. And
That's what a rod locker's for.
Yeah, well, you cleaned out all my rods a while back, so.
They're right over there and right there on the. But you can pick up one just as easy as I can.
What if we were loading up, all you said was top water. Well, you just need a couple top water rods.
You always take what you want, and then you always have the backup. Mm-hmm. Shaky head, drop shot. Something's always your backup. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh. Whatever. Uh-huh. She's not competitive at all. Y'all can't tell that, can you? She hates to lose at anything, much less fishing.
Gosh. Especially fishing.
Especially fishing. Anyway. And we're not always, well, it always does turn
careful.
Into a contest.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's get to the calendar right quick because coming up, well, you've got the calendar story. Do I have it? You've got the calendar story.
I have it.
Well, the calendar is brought to you by Visit Anderson and
Green Pond Landing and Event Center.
And we're going to talk to one of our calendar of events people here in the next segment or two. So go ahead, start it off.
So the South Carolina Trappers Association is coming to Little Mountain for their 43rd annual convention. And that's going to be Saturday, October 23rd, 9 until 3. And some SDNR staff is going to be there to answer some questions that y'all got. There's going to be demo events and kids contests and activities and auctions. Also, a bunch of vendors are going to be there. So I think we're going to try and make it out, hopefully.
Yep.
We are going to be deer hunting that weekend, yep. So maybe we can hop on over to Little Mountain. But y'all go check it out, and you'll get more information in the next 2 segments.
Yeah, because Joe Leonard from the South Carolina Trappers Association is going to be with us talking about trapping. Mm-hmm. Should be fun. Right now, October the 13th through the 24th, is the South Carolina State Fair.
I want to go this year.
And it's Columbia. And there are rides, there are food and drinks, there's agriculture and livestock, there's a heritage village, there are flower shows, animals, crafts and arts, cookie kitchen, equine shows. It's a whole website, scstatefair.org. Go do some research on your own and find out more about it. But it's going on right now, and I've seen some pictures. You need to go. We need to go.
Yes, I was about to say okay. We need to go.
All right.
The South Carolina Waterfowl Association is putting on their Greater Piedmont Banquet. And there are a couple different ticket prices. You can get a single ticket. You can get couples. And, this is the Georgetown and Walterboro ones.
No.
Yeah, because it's got Walterboro, Georgetown. So you can get a single ticket and a couple ticket. And they're $50 and $65. So if you want to go, you can check out their website for more information on that. The date is October 21st, which is a Thursday at 6 o'clock.
Yep. South Carolina Wildlife Federation is celebrating their 90th anniversary celebration. That's B.B. Dalton Harrison was talking about this when she was on a few weeks ago. It's October the 27th from 6 to 9, Central Energy in Columbia, South Carolina. Let's see. Guests will be able to flow between indoor and outdoor settings to enjoy an oyster roast, heavy hors d'oeuvres, open bar, live band, special guests, including SCETV's Rudy Mankey. Hmm. So, that could be very interesting.
That could be.
Masks will be worn by event staff, encouraged for guests when indoors, when not eating or drinking, unless required by, or now, I'm not sure, you have to check out what Columbia's going through. But yeah, this thing's got a real big, well, I can't see it, but anyway, if you need to go, they have the Hotel Trundle has special rates if you want to stay the night. So check it out. South Carolina Wildlife Federation, 90th anniversary celebration.
October 23rd, the Watery Passes of the Palmetto Trail is going to be hiked by Project Discovery at 10 o'clock to 12:30. It's a 1-mile guided hike. And it's a history hike. There's a farmer's market and free health screenings. Sounds fun.
Thanks to Palmetto Conservation Foundation. All right, y'all hang on. We're going to talk about trapping and critters and other things. More Woods and Water, South Carolina, on the other side of the break. This was an iconic song. Still is.
I know who sings it. I know the name of it.
Well, do share.
You want me to share something?
Yes. You know this is going to be great. Go ahead. Who is it?
Dire Straits.
Yes.
Money for Nothing.
I have succeeded, y'all. I can quit right now. My daughter knows. This is great. As much grief as you give me my music.
Well, because I have to listen to it all the time. So I kind of have
good.
To. You know, is it, though?
Yeah. Do I need to share with you that little thing again? The reason your generation's so mad is because music sucks.
No, your music was angry.
Oh,
we have good music.
Oh, get out of here.
We have good music.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Again, thanks for tuning in. We are fortunate enough to have Joe Leonard with us from the South Carolina Trappers Association. They've got a convention coming up. It's been a while since I've done anything on trapping here on the show, and I said, well, So I did a text, and somebody answered, and Joe, you're it.
So the rest is history.
As so they say.
You poor, now, unfortunate soul.
Now, we will see if the rest is history after this show is over, if he ever
there
answers my phone again. I know.
Go ahead. I do appreciate you reaching out to us.
Oh, yeah.
So glad to be on with you.
Well, I appreciate it. As I said, is Joe Leonard with the South Carolina Trappers Association. They have their convention coming up here shortly. Yeah, it was just something that here we are in deer season. A lot of guys are sitting in a tree stand. A lot of guys are seeing coyotes, raccoons, possums, other critters. And when you think of trapping, you kind of go back to Jeremiah Johnson and that kind of, that's kind of the mental image you get. But there are a lot of guys that trap a lot here in South Carolina. I see them on Facebook and all. And, Joe, I appreciate the South Carolina Trappers Association and the benefit of trapping and y'all keeping this alive and all, but take just a minute, introduce yourself, and we'll get rolling on this whole trapping thing.
Again, I appreciate it. I'm not quite as old as Jeremiah Johnson, but probably getting close. Trapping Association has been in South Carolina for a number of years, and like you said, we do have a convention coming up on the 23rd and at the Little Mountain Park in beautiful Little Mountain, South Carolina.
It is.
So we'll be there from 9 o'clock till after, and I'll talk about a few things we're going to do there later.
Okay.
I've been trapping for probably the bigger part of 5 decades now, so something I've always been involved with. Started with my grandfather. It's a very old tradition.
Yeah.
A lot of people still trap, not as many as there once was. It's still alive and well. It's a great management tool. More management today than the actual selling of the fur, although all the fur in South Carolina is marketable.
Okay.
So it's not like we're just wasting the resource by any
means.
Sure,
sure.
But I've been trapping pretty much my entire life, but always a pleasure to get somebody started, regardless of age, whether young or old.
Sure.
And that's one reason we have the association. It's a place that people can join. We have a monthly publication called the Trapper's Post that they receive. I say monthly, I believe it's 10 times a year now.
Okay.
But it's a regular publication. It goes through the, what's going on in the news, what's going on with regulations, that type of deal.
Okay.
But also we spend a lot of time being a mentor. Trapping is a specialized sport. Does take time commitment. We do check them every day.
Right.
So we spend a lot of time teaching people how to properly set the trap up, how to be sure it's the right size, how to target the animal that we're after, and how to humanely treat it.
Okay.
So that's kind of the purpose of the association, is to educate the public and educate the landowners and the people that are wanting to get into the sport.
Okay. And if you're listening right now, you can look at their website. It's sctrappers.com, so sctrappersoc.com, and a lot of information there on the front page and all. I'm assuming, now this goes back to my childhood when I was 6-7 years old, I think my granddaddy gave us some old steel traps that we used to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're hanging right over here.
Right there.
Yeah. We'd set them in the dirt and take a stick and whack, it'd cut the stick in two. I'm assuming that traps have changed a lot over the years.
They've changed a lot. We've worked very closely with the DNR.
Okay.
They work on an international basis for best management practices.
Okay.
So the traps that we use today will look familiar, but the types of springs, the thickness of the jaws, the swivels, the way we anchor them, been a lot of advancements, a lot of effort going into making the most humane trap possible.
Okay.
Whether it be a lethal water trap or whether it be a restraining trap on the ground.
Gotcha.
So, and that research continues. I trap properties that I use rubber jaw traps where the trap jaws themselves have a rubber liner. Landowners may be afraid of catching a domestic animal, although it's not going to break a foot or a leg or hurt it.
Okay.
It does give us another tool.
Okay.
So, yeah, they've changed quite a bit, and it continues to evolve.
And you just mentioned something right there, Taylor, a water trap as opposed to a land trap. You know, I think of a trap, I think of a, you know, but, yeah. But we trap for beavers, muskrats, little critters that can cause a lot of damage to a pond.
Our pond specifically.
Yeah, our pond specifically.
Yes, probably as much beaver trapping personally than I do anything else. And it is why you trap. You know, they got the back 40 underwater, and that's not what you want a duck
right,
pond to be.
Yeah.
Sure, that's exactly right. Are they just chewed up and killed your favorite maple tree hanging over the pond and, you know, that you grew up with as a kid?
If you can't tell
sounds
Dad.
Like a little personal story there.
Yeah,
right?
There is.
Yeah, he sounds a little.
I'm a little mad about this
yeah.
one.
He's got a grudge against this beaver.
But yeah, so you know, most of us think trapping, we think, you know, four-legged critters, but there are some waterborne critters that we manage for also. And I have had lots of, when we had the duck club down in Anderson, it was amazing how fast a beaver could stop up a flashboard riser system with mud.
Oh, yes, sir. If we could get them to work where we wanted them to.
Wow. Wouldn't it be great?
They don't always listen to us. Right?
No, they don't. They don't. Well, take us through. What do we trap for here in South Carolina? Just start off with somebody's wanting to get involved in trapping and all, and they're thinking, okay, now what am I going to target? What are some of the what are the range of things that we trap for in South Carolina?
Yeah, so most people that contact us as the association and they're getting an interest in trapping is coyote trapping.
Okay.
And, you know, that's a deer clubs or someone that has a private property and they're trying to manage the deer herd. So I think coyotes have the most interest. And of course, with the coyote would come the red fox and the gray fox.
Okay.
And something that I remind folks, if you're doing management, we want to manage it anytime we can during the season, which is December, January, and February.
Okay.
But you can get depredation outside of that.
Outside
but the
of
season
that.
Itself is, because that's you can utilize the animal.
Right.
And that's when you want to use the resource and target your trapping season during the actual season if you can.
Okay.
And never forget about the nest robbers. I mean, if you're managing your property, you're probably also looking to hopefully get a covey of quail back on it. A lot of research going into quail habitat. Always good to see the eastern turkeys bouncing around in the spring.
Yep.
So not a bad idea to also target the possums and the raccoons and not just focus on just the coyote. But those are the most common land animals, you know. You can catch a possum sometimes, whether you want to or not.
Do they always roll over and play dead?
Not always.
Okay.
Not always.
Okay.
But but they always will find your better sets.
Okay.
The coyotes, of course, is targeted for the deer management.
Right.
And I'll tell you, places I've trapped for 15, 20 years, you do see a noticeable difference. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does make a noticeable difference. And then in the water, depending on where you're at in the state, we don't have a very heavy mink population, but muskrats in some areas of the state, certainly otters, which is a beautiful fur.
Oh, yeah.
But not so pretty if you're trying to raise fish in a contained pond.
Holy smoke. You know, we had the piles of fish scales that mark an otter's territory are impressive.
Yeah, they are. They are very good fishermen.
They are.
And then, of course, you've experienced what a beaver can do.
Yes.
And a beaver makes good habitat to a point.
Sure.
But like all management, you have to apply it. You know, we've changed the landscape with housing developments and roads and malls, that type of deal. And I think this is just a way to manage the resources that are there.
Absolutely. You know, you don't think about the skunks and the raccoons as being, but they take a heavy toll on your turkeys and quail. Because they're ground nesters.
They are. And I didn't mention skunks on purpose because I don't want to jinx myself.
Oh, I'm sure there's a story there, Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
He said that like he's got a history.
Yeah. We've had an encounter or three.
You know, we got about 2 minutes left or so. Gosh, where do I want to go with this, Taylor?
Talk about non-targets. What do you do if you trap a non-target?
A non-target. Absolutely.
Yeah, so again, we've modified the traps, shock springs, swivels, different anchoring types. It's not going to harm the animal. They can be released.
Okay.
But I do caution people, an animal that's in a trap doesn't know what's going on.
All right.
So even though it may act friendly, you don't want to try to handle it with your bare hands. Get like a little stick and hold it down, or better yet, call the trapper that's working the area. He'll come release it for you.
Okay.
They're not necessarily in pain or that type of deal, but obviously this is not a situation they can reason through.
Okay.
So just don't try to walk up and pet it, even if it's a domestic dog or cat.
Sure.
But you can certainly release them unharmed and they'll go about their way. I use, and as most trappers use, we use a catch pole, very similar, if not the same one that a dog catcher would use.
Okay.
So it's a coated cable and it's got a spring in it, that type of deal. Basically just to hold their head away from you so you can release them and then they'll take off.
Very good.
So that means I can't pet like a cute raccoon.
No,
like
Taylor.
That. Yeah,
no.
That's what I thought.
This is not over the hedge.
Probably not a good idea.
Not over the hedge.
I'm getting like the Elf movie when he tries to give the raccoon a hug on his way to New York.
Yeah.
Not happening. I didn't think so.
These are wild animals, most of them. And you always have to remember that, how many cute they are. They are wild animals, and they don't react like oftentimes like we think they should.
Exactly right. But someone's going to check the trap, and again, we check them every day. That's part of the requirements.
Sure.
So the animal's going to be released within a reasonable time frame to go about its business, and probably will not come back to get captured again.
Cool. All right. Well, hang on. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more on the South Carolina Trappers Association after this break. More Woods and Water South Carolina coming your way. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I don't know that you're going to need to wear your sunglasses at night if you're going to trap, but you might be spending some time out there at night. Who knows? But glad to have Joe Leonard on with us from the South Carolina Trappers Association to talk about trapping. You know, Joe, you mentioned we've been talking about trapping and all that's involved in it. If you're trapping somebody's property during the season, how long can they expect you to be around?
You know, it varies a little bit based on what their goal is and what you're trying to do. But the way I set mine up, I'm usually on a property 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
You know, your deer club, people also want to hunt small game. They want to do other things on it. So we kind of schedule. We can be on typically in that amount of time. You can accomplish what you've set out to do.
Okay.
You know, weather's always a factor. Sometimes you do have to work around because these sets are on the ground or in the ground. So, you know, real bad weather can slow you down, maybe have to spend an extra day or two, but don't think it tears up the whole 3 months. That's not normal the way you do it.
That's a long time to try to keep your dog in the yard.
It is. And it's also a long time to drive the same roads every day.
Sure.
We do check them every morning.
Okay.
But you know, even somebody that can't devote that much time, I mean, you know, people have life as well. So you got a job, you got kids, whatever.
Like me going in springtime, that's starting out of, I hate to say this, but tax season. I don't have a heck of a lot of time. but you know, if I wanted to trap my own property, is it worth me going for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday and doing it the 2 days I'm there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you get, you don't, obviously don't need as much equipment, but you get half a dozen traps, 10 traps, get them set. You know, bait them up. Just be sure when you and you run them and check them. You just fire them all before you leave. I've done them that way before myself.
Okay.
And then the next week, just reset them and rebait them.
So you're essentially leaving the traps in place then?
Yeah, you just have to be sure they're fired so okay. nothing can get caught.
Right.
But that way you're not doing all the work. The holes are already dug.
Wow.
So, you know, for your bait and your lure and that type of thing, and it's certainly worth it. It's not uncommon at all to catch a good portion of your animals in the first 3 nights anyway.
Okay.
So, you know, think about it. You know, they live there. You're right there in their living room.
Sure.
So something new, something smelling wasn't there before, bone laying there, they're likely to check it out sooner and not later.
Wow. Taylor, we got to get involved in trapping. That's just something else we got to do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
And we can do that coming up at the association. All right, but we're going to get to that. How do people get started? I mean, we've got the convention coming up, which is probably a great time to get into it because you can go actually talk to people, lay your hands on stuff without making just a phone call and trying to set up a meeting with somebody. So take us through the convention, how to become a member. I know mentorship is a big thing in trapping, and I'm just going to kind of turn it over to you and listen to what you got to say about it.
Yeah, you know, we can shorten the learning curve a lot. And obviously, we want to get people involved to understand the sport. Convention is a good place to get involved, to get your membership, pick up a few back issues, that type of thing. Also, there'll be supplies there. We have a number of vendors coming in. They're all listed on the website. So you're not having to look in a catalog and hope you're picking out the right thing. You can come there, pick it up. Pick up the attractants that you want, get everything at one place, save the freight. Plus, you'll get the benefit of seeing how to use it.
Okay.
We have a number of demos set up throughout the day. There's coyote demos. There's trap adjustment demos. Like I said, that's important that we're using the right trap for the right species. There's beaver demo. So enough to keep you busy.
Okay.
Get you engaged and make contacts.
Okay.
Quite honestly, just from personal experience, I had some people come that I went out and helped them set their first lineup, kind of get them started.
Okay.
I've had some folks that come and said, you know what, I really want to do this, but I don't want to make the investment. We have trappers across the state. We could be a conduit to connect them to somebody in their area.
Okay.
Even, you know, they might want to take the involvement themselves or have the time right now.
Sure.
But we can introduce them to the right people.
Okay.
We can also do the membership there as well. If for some reason you can't make it to Little Mountain, go to the website. You can join there.
Okay.
That'll get you on the mailing list for anything that's changing within the state.
Okay.
Upcoming events like this, but also we'll get you the Trapper's Post. So you'll start getting a periodical. And again, it's all about shortening the learning curve. I will tell you, if you learn to trap, you will be a better hunter.
Okay.
Because you do learn to read the sign. We spend a lot of time, you know, we're directly engaged with the animal. If you know, you think about it, they can walk anywhere. We're making them step on something the size of a golf ball. So you do have to learn the animal and how to pattern it and how to read the sign. It makes you, in my opinion, not that I'm biased.
Sure. A better hunter.
But in my opinion, a better all-around outdoors person.
Oh, of course. Anytime you're learning more about the outdoors, you're becoming a better outdoors person. You know.
Yep.
And the more you learn about the critters in the outdoors, the better, the more of a conservationist you become too.
Oh, that's very true.
I
yes, sir.
Firmly agree in that. Got some kids contests and activities at the convention?
We do. We always want to encourage the young people, but again, we would like to bring anybody into the activity. Don't matter what your age group is, we get you set up with somebody, get you make all the connections to get you started. But we do have some kids activities. We'll give away some awards for them. There'll be food truck, that type of deal. Start at 9:00. We're there a little bit earlier, of course. Trappers are morning people, but we start at 9:00. All the vendors will be there, and typically it kind of wraps up with a business meeting. We have an auction every year. A lot of very interesting things are brought in by us to auction off. That's a fundraiser for other activities that we do in the state.
Okay.
And then auction kind of wraps up, 3 o'clock or so, and everybody goes about their way.
DNR will be on available. I'm assuming that's Jay Belfiloski. Is he going to be there?
Yeah. Jay's been at these all the time. And I will say we have a tremendous working relationship with the DNR. They've been very instrumental in some regulations that we've changed and some things that we've opened up for landowners for better management. So, I think a great relationship there.
Very good. Mentorship. We talked a little bit about it. If somebody comes to you and says, I want to get started trapping, what all are some trappers? What are y'all willing to do to help somebody get involved in trapping? I mean, you're not going to buy the traps for them, but they buy their traps and all that. What are you going to try to teach them about setting those traps?
Yeah, we'll try to get them in touch with someone that's close enough to meet them and, kind of walk them through on their line.
Okay.
Most years I have at least two people will come and just ride with me. They're not working on Saturday or whatever, and I'll take them on my line, kind of wherever I'm set at, kind of show them how I do it. My way is not the only way, and I'm not saying it's the right way, but I'll share with you what I know.
Okay.
And just, again, it's about shortening the learning curve. You go back 50 years ago, 40 years ago, there wasn't a lot of information on trapping readily available. You kind of had to learn as you go. Fur was expensive then, so people were very secretive at the time. Now there's a ton of information online. Be careful. Some is accurate, some maybe not.
Okay.
But again, the Trapper's Post is a good thing for that. There's a lot of how-to articles in it. And then either on their line or our line, we can walk through with them, show them how to make the set, show them how to bed the trap. That's making it solid in the ground.
Okay.
How to properly anchor it and swivel it. It's just really important that you treat the animal with respect, and then how to harvest it.
Okay.
So, again, it's whatever we can do to get involvement and get people engaged in it. There's a number of us willing to help folks out.
Very good. Again, the website, sctrapperassociation.com. So sctrapperassoc.com. Got all the stuff on there. The convention is coming up in Little Mountain, South Carolina, the Reunion Park, 749 Mill Street, this Saturday, the 23rd, or next Saturday. Oof, got it a little bit. And I wanted to get a skunk story. So you got your minute to talk about a skunk story for us.
Well, like I said, I would prefer to not worry with the skunks, but they do occasionally come along.
Okay.
They're actually a good animal to harvest because you can't sell the essence out of them. But as you euthanize it and you pick it up and you put it in the truck,
yes,
they have a bit of an odor. And it's really important, guys. It's really important that you have dispatched the skunk. Because if the skunk comes back too, they are not pleasant to be around. And we'll kind of let it go with that.
Does tomato juice work on truck upholstery?
Not well.
Oh, wow. See, there's a story. Wouldn't you like to hear the long version, though?
Oh, I would.
That skunk just around and around the truck cab.
And they'll get up in the heater vent.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. Oh, me. Well, Joe, I really appreciate you coming on the show and taking some time with us. If at all we can make it down, we'll see you at the convention. Hope some people will come out and get involved. But we appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Don't put a live skunk in your truck. We'll see you on the other side with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back. Wake up.
You know who you remind me of?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Do tell, but don't take long.
It just reminds me of the scene in Mall Cop when he's in the game room and he's just like kind of rocking out to himself. That's what you remind me of when that kind of music comes on. I'm sorry. That's like all I can picture.
Okay. We're going to be short of co-host this time, folks. Anybody want to audition to sit alongside with me? Feel free.
I'm sorry. That just popped in my head. That was too funny. Oh, my gosh.
let's see. Oh, we're talking to Joe off after we finished up the segment. He did say that there one thing he said didn't get to was you can get depredation permits for predator management on your property.
Pretty.
Yep. That'd be something you need to contact DNR about. But he did. It's funny. It's not funny, but you can never get everything in on a segment. So he did want us to mention that for those of you who are interested in trapping and management, that there is a way for you to manage for the predators outside of trapping season. You can't sell them. It is just simply to control the predator. And he specifically mentioned turkey season when you're, you know, when you're turkey in. So anyway.
We really appreciate him taking time
yes,
to talk to
we
us.
Do.
And yeah, if y'all are interested, any of y'all interested in
yeah, just go over trapping, there and hang out for a few hours.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have all sorts of hides and skulls and stuff for you to look at. Mm-hmm. It's an educational thing for your kids, if nothing else.
And good if we make it, come say hi.
Yeah.
We'll be
see us wandering around.
Yeah. Maybe probably looking a little lost.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll be lost. we have to do this every year. I just love this. I don't have an old tree stand. I can remember tree stands from way back in the 70s when I first started deer hunting. I mean, the 2x6s nailed up into a pine tree. A fork in an oak tree where I built a little flat triangular stand in the fork of an oak tree branch. Yeah, but anyway, this is all the way from 2018 now.
If this old tree stand could talk, what stories it could tell about the bucks that got away and those that fell. It saw Grandpa kill the Big Ten back in 74. It's where he last hunted before getting too old to go anymore. It's one holler over from where Dad's first buck was found. He proudly drove that spike all over town with his tailgate down. If this old tree stand could talk, imagine the sunrises it's seen. Every color in God's palette, red and yellow, brown and green. It's watched bucks rub trees, heard wild turkeys thunder. It's had storms pass above and all kinds of critters pass under. If this old tree stand could talk, it'd tell you about Dad crying in its seat. After hearing the news, my mom was expecting me. As she tells it, he was headed out the door full speed. She whispered, "Get a big one tonight. We've got another mouth to feed." I smile about that and gaze at my daughter. As we sit in the woods with the rifle my pop bought her, if this old tree stand could talk, a patriot it would be. Proud to stand tall in the land of the free. It's been here while wars were fought far away, providing freedom for my family to enjoy opening day. If this old tree stand could talk, I'd ask it how I'd done. Not my skill as a hunter, but the man I'd become. It's seen my ethics tested and watched over my decisions. It's been the spot I go to clear my thinking and vision. If this old tree stand could talk, my prayer is that it would say, "You're an honorable deer hunter, like those who showed you the way."
That's always a good one. Mm-hmm. I don't have an old tree stand, but I have a lot of memories of old tree stands.
I guess I kind of have an old tree stand. I don't hunt from it anymore, but the box stand in
yeah,
the old series
yeah.
I filmed.
It's still there. I was looking at it the other day. The ladder's rotted.
Yep.
And but we're going to reconstitute that one. That one's up for refurbishment here very shortly. I went to actually get in it, and I looked, took one look at the stand, the ladder, and was like, "Ah, no."
You were actually going to try and get in that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my gracious.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, hey. God, there was something I was going to say, and I forgot it. I need to write things down. it is weather is getting good. It teased us a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but this week is coming is really going to be a good one. And whitetails, you know, they're going to be up and moving, and a lot of us hunters will be up and moving just because it feels good outside. Just because it's fun to be out there. You put on that first layer of you know, long johns or whatever, and you put on, you kind of just snuggle in that deer stand a little bit. It's 40 something degrees in the morning, and you're like, and then it warms up, and you get kind of sleepy sitting there, and all. We've all been there.
Yeah.
But it's not a lot of deer hunters, and these arguments go on all deer season. What triggers the rut? And it's not cold weather. Just put that out there. It's not cold weather. Cold weather, hey, look, it'll get the boys frisky, okay? Cold weather gets teenage boys going too. You know, everybody feels better when it's a little cold, not so hot. So it'll get the bucks going. You know, they're eager. But it's not cold weather that triggers the rut. It'll trigger a lot of pre-rut stuff. But the rut, the breeding activity, all that is determined by photo period. And simply put, photo period is the interval in a 24-hour day during which a plant or animal exposed to light. Photo period is directly tied to growth, development, and seasonal behavior in plants and animals. And with respect to whitetails, photo period regulates some hormonal production that is directly tied to antler growth and the breeding season. A diminishing ratio of daylight to darkness triggers behavioral and physiological changes that lead to breeding. First, antlers mineralize and bucks shed their velvet. That's photo period. Next, bucks begin sparring, rubbing trees, and making scrapes. That's happening out there right now. Mm-hmm. This transition is some fighting to establish dominance and breeding rights and eventually to breeding. I'll skip it. This is actually an article from the National Deer Alliance from way back in, you know, it didn't print, but I think this is back from like 2013 originally. Kip Adams wrote it. And he goes through rut factors in the north, which is, I'm going to skip that. We're not in the north. If you're from the north, you know the rut happens. It's more compressed in the north because with winter coming on, nature says they got to get it done quicker, I think. But rut factors in the south. Breeding dates aren't as cut and dry. The photo period change is less dramatic. The climate is less severe, and there's less need to breed on time. This may explain why the breeding window is wider, but it likely does not explain why published reports show peak breeding in October in East Texas, December in Arkansas, January in Mississippi and Alabama, and February in Florida. It's true. October in Southeast Georgia. All of these regions share a similar photo period, so there are clearly some other factors involved. According to Dr. Carl Miller at the University of Georgia, remember this is in 2013, so he may not be there anymore. Southern deer are still under the influence of photo period, but exact timing of the rut is more influenced by genetics and maternal factors, and the synchrony of the rut is more influenced by herd demographics. This means photo period controls the approximate season of breeding, fall or winter, but the deer herd's genetics likely influence the exact timing of breeding. The synchrony or tightness of the rut is then governed by how well the herd is managed. Herds under QDMA, which is quality deer management, you're not managing, is one of the most misunderstood three words in deer hunting. Mm-hmm. Quality deer management. You're not managing for big bucks. You're managing for a well, a well-maintained deer herd. A healthy deer herd is what you're after. With balanced sex ratios and improved buck age structures have tighter or more synchronous ruts, which leads to increased rutting behavior, competition for breeding, enhanced hunting opportunities. Poorly managed hunts with herds with unbalanced sex ratios and young buck age structures generally lack these benefits. So, this is interesting. Not seeing many rubs and scrapes in your area, this may be directly related to an absence of older bucks. According to Carl, one mature buck can make 1,000 to 1,200 rubs per year. So over a 90-day period, that is 10 to 15 per day. This means a deer herd with an older age structure and balanced sex ratio can have over 3,000 rubs per square mile. Contrast this to a deer herd with a young buck age structure where yearlings make less than half as many rubs, and you may only have 400 to 500 rubs per square mile. Yearlings also only make about 15% as many scrapes. This equates to less sign for hunters to observe. Sign, there's that. There's that word that Joe talked about, sign.
Yep.
Becoming a better outdoorsman. Let's have fewer prime places to hang a trail camera and fewer communication posts for deer to exchange information. It also means less rut behaviors witnessed by hunters, such as tracing, grunting, and buck fighting. Grunt calls and rattling antlers are less effective where QDM is not practiced. Good luck this hunting season. It's tag end of the article. So, yeah. So, while we all love the cold weather and we all think, oh, gosh, the cold weather's coming, it's going to trigger the rut, it does get deer up and moving a little more. But the rut is simply that length of daylight that the deer are exposed to. So, goodness gracious.
Stop.
Cover your mouth when you yawn.
Stop.
Ugh. Nap time.
Yes, Saturday. It's time for a nap.
Time for a nap. Football. Mm-hmm. We got to hit some football.
No, but yeah, for real, when y'all are in the stand this season, as y'all start getting going, the weather starts getting nice, enjoy it. Take all of it in. Relax. Don't pick up your phone. Tell everybody you're busy.
And there is always something to see. I'm amazed that people go deer hunting and go, do you see anything? And that's a standard question. No, I didn't see anything. Well,
you saw something.
That may be on the... That may be because you didn't see a deer, and that's the implied what you want to see.
Guarantee you every hunter sees at least one squirrel every hunt.
Oh, so yeah. Birds and all something. And stuff like that. I saw 16 quail the other day. 16 of them.
Oh, in all their glory.
Made my heart. Oh. Y'all don't know what it's like. Well, probably some of you do. But if you don't know what it's like... Man, you just feel sorry for you. Anyway, thanks for being here. I hope you'll get out and take advantage of some of the things that are happening outdoors. Even if you're not a hunter. I mean, we talk about hunting a lot here, but the fishing is good year-round.
Yep, it is.
So you can fish till whenever and hike. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget that camera and your binoculars. See you next year, next week. Old Woods and Water, South Carolina. Yeah.